You may look at that and go, what is that about? Well, we're a new creation, and this is symbolic of being permanently marked. And when we're permanently marked by God, a lot of things change. A lot of things change. So many different things change in our lives that people notice. And if you have been changed, if you have discovered that you are a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come, then you'll know that your life has shifted for the betterment of yourself and also the people all around you. And God does new things. And that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17 says this: at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Let's pray. Lord God, allow us to understand you more deeply this morning. Father, I ask that as we get into your scriptures and talk about your scriptures and talk about our lives, God, I just ask, Lord, that you will allow us to realize that if we are in you, that we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But Father, there are a lot of us that continue to live in the old and are bound by the old habits and behavior patterns. God, I ask, Lord, that you will shift us to discover you more deeply in our lives this morning. And may we truly understand what it means to be new. Amen. So why don't we feel new? Well, someone said, because we're old. That could be a reason. Thank you very much. Why don't we feel new? How about our history? Some of us have a history that is not too pretty. We have things that have happened in our past, things that have happened that we don't want to reveal to anybody and we don't want to talk about and we don't even want to deal with. And a lot of times we bottle them up and put them in our past and we keep them there and they start to ruin us. Our history often reflects in our present. And when our history is staying with us in our day that we walk now and talk now and it happens to hinder our present life and our future plans. Has that ever been a part of your life? Your history has ruined what's going on right now. Well, our history doesn't have to define us. And our history, whatever it is that you have in your past, it is your past. And we need to leave what's in our past, and move forward with the present and the future. And allow the past to be the past. Learn from it, but don't live in it. Do you understand the difference? Learn from the past, don't live in the past. There's far too many of us that are living in the past. And oh, what I could have done and what I could have been. Oh, if I didn't do this, then I could be this. And if I decided and made this choice instead of that choice, I would be at a completely different place in my life. Well, God's saying, don't let your past define your present or your future. And often we're saying, I can't help but let my past define who I am now and in the future. Does our past have an effect on our present? Absolutely. But does it have to ruin us and hinder us from what God has for us? Absolutely not. The second thing that why don't we feel new is our hurts. Some of us have these deep wounds, these things from our past. Maybe someone has inflicted hurt and pain upon us. Maybe it's something that we've inflicted upon ourselves and we've inflicted this hurt and pain. And maybe it's something that our body can't control and our mind can't control. And the pain and hurt has fallen upon us and it's unexplainable. By our broken human condition, we can say it's explainable by that. But with our own personal selves, it's often hard to understand why certain hurts and pains happen. And why, some of us may ask, why, God, did you allow this to happen to me at this time? And why does so much happen in my life? It doesn't make sense. So something that makes us not feel new is the hurts. And some of us have some really deep, deep wounds. Things that most people can't understand. And then someone may say, oh, I understand where you're coming from. But no one really understands each individual's personal pain, right? The third thing is our habits. Why don't we feel new? Our habits. Some of us have habits that we keep falling back into. We do certain things, and when we continue to do certain things, they have the same result, right? So someone once said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results, right? But we keep doing it anyway, even though the results are negative. Well, don't you think that if we infuse our hearts and our minds with the power of God, that He can take our history, our hurts, and our habits and completely flip them on their face and make them different? Like our habits won't be the same as they were before. Some of you have entered into a new habit in coming to church on Sunday morning. And some of you have never really been consistent in coming to church on Sunday morning. And God has sparked in your heart a new habit. And that simple habit change can help completely change our perspective and our life. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It has to be the habit of getting in the Word, the habit of reading and praying and seeking God. It's replacing our former habits with beautiful habits. So how am I made new in Christ? That is a very, very important question. And we are forgiven from our past. Did you know that you are forgiven from your past if you are in Christ? I don't think a lot of us actually embrace that. I don't think a lot of us actually come to this place where I am forgiven. Have you ever really said that out loud to yourself? That I am forgiven. We need to speak words of truth to ourselves rather than words, rather than lies and falsehood. There's a passage in Ephesians 1:7. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have this redemption, like all the old stuff, all the junk, all of the stuff from our past, all that stuff has been redeemed. Do you know what redeemed means? It means made new, like purified, like cleansed, like all that. The redemption work of God has fallen upon our lives, and we are now redeemed. We're not what we used to be. We're what God is pouring out and infusing us to be. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. There are some of us sitting here that say we're in Christ, and you know what we keep doing? We keep condemning ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not... Wait, what? I'm not dressed enough? I hope you are. We don't want to see anything. I'm glad the pew's in the way. Anyway, hey, we can say, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm not that. But what happens when we say, I am this, I am this, I am new in Christ, I am faithful, I am godly, I am somebody after God's heart, even though I'm a mess, God's filling me and infusing me with life and with peace and with joy and with hope. Why do we continue to combat ourselves with these lies? That I'll I'll never be good enough. I'll never be who I'm supposed to be. I've had too much stuff happen. My past is not the past that keeps hitting me in the face in my present, and I can't get past what my past has been. But what if? What if God is actually calling out to us and saying, don't you know who you are? Don't you see what I see when you look in that mirror? Why do you look and see something that I just don't see? A lot of times it has to do with sin. A lot of times it has to do with our past junk and debris. And if you've ever tried to walk through a junkyard, have you ever tried to do that? Some of you go, yeah, I have. Others of you go, I don't even know what he's talking about. But if you try to walk through a bunch of debris, I remember when I was in elementary school, my uncle took me down to the dump, and we had this huge dump, and I decided, he didn't know I did this, because he's, Colby! And he didn't know where I went, because I ran out of his truck, and I started running through all the trash, and I was a mess. I had stuff all over me, and I had to get back in his vehicle. He was not a happy camper. So I was running through all the junk and debris. And as I'm running, my sneakers, my legs, my arms, I had stuff all over me. When we run through messed up stuff, we can get pretty messed up. God redeems the mess. He cleanses the garbage. He frees us from debris. And he heals the brokenhearted. The second thing is, we are healed from our hurts. So we don't feel new because of our history and our hurts, but we are forgiven from our past, and we are healed from our hurts. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61 is a prophecy talking about Jesus, and it says, the Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners. You may feel like a prisoner in your own skin. You may feel like a captive. And you may feel in bondage and enslaved and entrapped in the person you are. There may be things in your life, and I bet there are things in each of our lives that we've never shared with anybody, that we hold in and keep to ourselves, and they're eating away at us. Some of us may say, no, that's not true at all. But I think if we really examined ourselves, we'd find things that are wanting. But let me tell you about the beauty of that. Even though there are things about ourselves that aren't that right, he will bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So your being may be imprisoned by yourself and all the doubts and all the junk and all the garbage and all the debris. And God's saying, I will help you. I will bring you rest. I will bring you peace. I will bring you hope. And then in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The stuff you've been through, the Spirit is our comforter. And if we are in Christ, the Spirit is with us, and the Spirit comforts us. He comforts the brokenhearted. He breaks the prisoner free. The captives are released. So the hurts and the anguish and the pains and the sorrow of the past can be turned over to a God that heals our hurts. And the final thing, the third thing, we are freed from our habits. I think most of us in here can say, there is a habit that I need to break. And I need to overcome. God can enable us to overcome those habits that we cannot break on our own. Whatever they look like, whatever form they take in our lives. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Are you ready for this? Throw off your old self. I don't think you heard that. Throw off your old self and your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Did you hear that? Get rid of the junk, the debris, all the stuff of the past, and put on the new nature, which is Christ. This is new. Christ is new. He makes all things new. He doesn't make just some things new. Well, God can make this new and that new, but he's not going to be able to make this new because I'm too messed up. Right? I'm just too messed up for God to make this part of my life new. And meanwhile, God's going, what are you talking about? Do you know who I am? I am. I am who I say I am. I am. Imagine standing with no shoes on and you walk over. First of all, you have your sandals on and you walk. You come across. You see this bush and it starts burning. You're like, what is going on? What is happening today? This is weird. This bush is burning, but it's not consuming. Hey, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. That's right, it's Moses. So he takes off his shoes, and he's standing on holy ground, and the bush that is burning and not being consumed starts speaking. Now, have you ever seen that? You've never seen that? Many of us in here are saying, you know what, I'm going to change when I see a burning bush. You know what, I'll change when I see an angel come down and stand before me and scare me and say, Kobe, what are you doing? Like we have this weird picture of an angel, what an angel is. If we read the scriptures, we discover that angels are really scary at times. Nearly every single time an angel is mentioned in the scriptures that appears before a human, the human's reaction is fright, scare, becoming pale, falling face down, being scared for their life. Because often angels appear scary. Other times they take human form. However, a lot of times we say, you know, I'll believe when I see this, when I do that, when that happens, when this happens. Yet what happens is we don't discover God deeply in our life because we put these parameters and we put these things in the way of God's Spirit moving because we say, you know what? God, if you do this, then I'll believe this. If you do that, and we have all these rules and regulations that we set up. But God's saying, hey, open up the floodgates of your heart so I can come in and I can move and I can start transforming you, not just from your mind, but your mind and your heart and transforming you from within. Because you are a soul. I did a memorial service for a 62-year-old woman yesterday. By all accounts, that seems way too young for someone to pass. Lots of tears were shed. People's hearts were broken. We never, ever know when this life will leave us. But what we do know, and what we can be assured of, is that we can discover freedom from our habits. We can be healed from our hurts, and we can be forgiven from our past. And for some reason, we have a tendency not to embrace that or believe that. And we talk about it, but we don't live it. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Do you know when Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed and it was poured out for me and you, and you may not understand that, but that crimson stain that the old hymn talks about, you're washed white as snow. Our sins were washed white as snow because of the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice. It didn't stop there, though. He rose from the grave and conquered death, so we don't have to face eternal death. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Do you hear that? Put on your old self and learn to know your Creator as you become like Him. When that was written to the church of Colossae, they were people that were straying from God. You may be someone that's been straying from God. But be like your Creator. You need to become like Him. When we become like Him, we discover more deeply what it means to be holy. And holy means set apart. If you're in Christ, you have been set apart by God for noble purposes. Did you know that? He is the potter. We are the clay. Father God, we come to you this morning. And Lord, some of us have so much trouble embracing that we are made new in you, that we have a hope in you. God, we have difficulties fathoming that, Lord, we can discover freedom from our past, from our hurts, from our habits. But God, you are the freedom maker. You are the way maker. You are the peacemaker. You are the comforter. You are the healer. You are the coming king. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. And God, you are the God that saves, that reconciles the brokenhearted. Lord, you are the God that sets the captives free. Lord, you are the God that allows your clay to be molded into noble, for noble purposes. And God, as your clay, as this big lump that is trying to be molded, God, into your likeness, God, I just pray, God, that we will not be satisfied with mediocrity in our spiritual journey with you. That we will not be content with being people that have said a prayer one time and walked away and haven't been truly changed and transformed. That we will not be satisfied with living lives that we say we believe in you, but we live completely contrary to you. God, may we live in the power of the risen Jesus. May we live in the peace and the comfort and the joy and the hope that comes from a supernatural understanding of what it means to be a follower of the way. And it's so simplistic, God, that a child can understand it, but it's so complex because you are a God that is infinite and we are finite, and it's so hard to understand your ways because your ways are not our ways and our ways are not your ways. But God, may we be shifted and made new and changed and transformed by the renewing of our minds, so we will be able to test your good and pleasing and perfect will for our lives in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we stand and sing this song, may we realize that we are not the same, that we're a new creation. In the name of Jesus, amen.